facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the program. So glad to be with you on this wonderful Wednesday. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And the Twitter handle is as follows, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We have a show account too, at Cale Clark Show, which you can also follow on Twitter. And in just a few moments, I'm going to be joined by a very, very special guest, a great friend of the program, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, to talk about his new book, St. Dominic's Way of Life, A Path to Knowing and Loving God. It's a really cool book, hot off the press, and it's published by our Sunday Visitor. I think you're really, really going to like this book and what we have to say about it. And in fact, I'm joined right now by my guest today. He's a good friend of the program. It's so great to have him back again. He is, along with Father Jacob Bertrand Janczyk, the co-host, of the very lively Dominican Friars podcast known as Godsplaining. He's also the senior editor of the immensely popular Catholic website Alatea. And he's also, if that wasn't enough, he's the associate chaplain at Providence College, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, OP, Order of Preachers, is my guest. Father Briscoe, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, Cale. Thanks for having me on. Great to be back with you.
It is fantastic to have you back on the program. And obviously, your new book just came out that you and Father Jacob Bertrand just released, St. Dominic's Way of Life, A Path to Knowing and Loving God, again, published by our Sunday Visitor Press, just came out. And part of the answer to the question I'm about to ask you, Father, about this book is pretty obvious. I was going to ask you, why did you write this book? Of course, you're a Dominican yourself. But aside from that, and how St. Dominic's spirituality has obviously influenced you in your way of life, why do you think this book was important to be written? In other words, why is St. Dominic important now in this present moment in the 21st century? What do you think we need to learn right now from St. Dominic?
Well, Cale, you know, first of all, I should just issue you a warning. The book is so hot off the press that it will burn your hands. You know, if you're not wearing oven mitts, so you got to be ready to handle that puppy. So the book just came out, and it came out now because we, the Dominican Order, we're in the midst of celebrating a jubilee year. Why? Because it's been 800 years since Saint Dominic died.
Wow!
Isn't that incredible?
That is amazing.
I think it's amazing because the number of projects in the history of mankind that have lasted 800 years are few. Mm-hmm. You know, the American Republic is not 800 years old, for example, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
great point.
The experience of our democracy is newer than that. So when we look at St. Dominic, we see someone who had an idea and put it into action, and his project has perdured. Now, why is it perdured? Well, not just because it was a good idea, but because it's a work of divine grace. Mm. It's a work that Christ wanted for his church. So that because the Lord Jesus wants the Dominican Order, that's why it still exists. And I think that a book about St. Dominic is particularly relevant today because the same crisis that St. Dominic faced 800 years ago in the 13th century, the same crisis plagues the church today. And so we can look to St. Dominic, you know, as an example and for consolation and for inspiration as we face this crisis.
Well, I think I know what that crisis is, but for the people listening, and by the way, my guest today on the Cale Clark Show is the Dominican Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, who is the author of the new book, St. Dominic's Way of Life. Just fill in the people on what that crisis was that St. Dominic was dealing with on the scene 800 years ago. And what is going on today, and how are those two things connected?
Well, the landscape, Cale, frankly, 800 years ago was bleak. I mean, sometimes we, as Catholics, have the tendency to whitewash the Middle Ages as a kind of golden age, right? So we just kind of paint over it all. Now, not really whitewash. We paint over it all with beautiful stained glass windows, and we see the beautiful cathedrals and some of the legacy, like the intellectual legacy of the Middle Ages, and we think like, oh, that was a great age in the church. Well, it was and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Because at the beginning of the 13th century, what St. Dominic faced was a crisis of faith among the people and a great scandal of infidelity among the clergy who had been deputed to serve them. And so St. Dominic's project was to revive the faith of the church, of, you know, of everyday parishioners, right, of everyday Catholics, to serve them, to preach to them, to really enliven their faith, and simultaneously to offer a project of renewal to the clergy. Sound familiar?
Nice. Yeah, yeah, that's could have been ripped from today's headlines. That is for sure. Now, in particular, what was going on theologically that was a problem in St. Dominic's time?
Well, look, we're talking about the Dominican order, so one has to use the big H word. We have to use the H-bomb. And I'm talking about heresy. So the H-bomb, heresy, right? So heresy, a kind of false teaching. And heresy, if we understand it correctly, we understand that heresy is a distortion of the faith, something that looks like it could be true, but really leads people astray. And so in St. Dominic's time, it was this movement, a kind of rigorous movement called the Albigensian heresy or the Cathar movement. And basically, essentially what it is, you could say many things about it, but essentially what it is that the Albigensians had set up their own hierarchy, a kind of parallel church. With a clergy that was really rigorous, that fasted, that prayed, that appeared to be very holy, and then offered a kind of way out of everyday living to the people. And so when you're looking, you know, if you're an everyday person in the 13th century, you're kind of looking around the church, you're saying, wow, the priests, religious of the Catholic Church aren't that holy, but these other guys, they appear to be very holy. Which group are you going to go with? You know, so there were a lot of people that were being caught up in this thing because of the kind of desire for excellence, the desire for holiness, that, frankly, this heretical movement espoused.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and you can certainly see how that does relate to the present moment. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. My guest today is the Dominican Father, Patrick Mary Briscoe, author of the brand new book, St. Dominic's Way of Life. And let's just dig in a little bit more specifically here. And by the way, I think the book's a great read. I've checked it out, and I think people really benefit from it. It's a good size, and it packs a lot of spiritual punch. But I really liked the quote in the preface that was written by Father Peter John Cameron when he said, quote, "You're most likely never going to spot a plaster statue of St. Dominic ensconced in your neighbor's flower garden." Obviously, you tend to see more of a St. Francis. And of course you'll see like statues of Our Lady in people's little grottos. They have that sort of thing. But he goes on to say the kind of saintliness Dominic modeled is very much akin to the holiness of the Holy Spirit himself, who, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches, unveils Christ to us by properly divine self-effacement. End of quote. Talk to me about something that you hit on in the book about the hidden nature of true holiness and what Dominic has to do with that.
We joke often, and this is just another paraphrase of Father Cameron here, we joke often that you never see bird baths of St. Dominic. Like you see St. Francis bird baths, but you never see bird baths of St. Dominic. And, you know, our founder, our Holy Father, St. Dominic, has a kind of characterization as having been stern and severe, and probably that's been given by the order's nature, where the watchdogs of Catholic discipline, where the watchdogs of Catholic theology, and this is a duty we perform for Holy Mother Church with joy. You know, it's not a reputation I wish to distance myself from. But I will say about St. Dominic that was not the reputation he had in his own life. He was joyful, he was compassionate. So then, what is it about his holiness, though? To get back directly to what you're asking. His holiness was hidden, you know, as you say, it was quiet. So St. Dominic's holiness was comprised of things like fasts and vigils. You know, the people that knew him in his own lifetime say that he would drink wine, but he would mix it with so much water that it was so diluted that it was basically not wine anymore. Or when he ate, he would have like half of an egg for a meal, and that would be it. Or when he stayed overnight, the people, his hosts, would notice that he hadn't used the bed, that the sheets were all, you know, like the bed, whatever it was, they didn't have sheets like we have, but the bed was arranged, you know, as it had been before he entered the room, you know, indicating that if he slept, he slept on the floor.
On the floor, yeah.
But the brethren would spy him spending all night in the chapel, you know, he would go from little side altar to side altar, crying out and praying to God. And Dominic was torn about what would happen to those who did not know Christ, who were far from Christ. He would pray, you know, weeping, "What, my God, what will become of sinners?" Hmm. And so we have this kind of this hidden life, which is the storehouse, the powerhouse, you know, a life that we only know about from the testimony of other people. St. Dominic doesn't have a whole body of works. He's not the great theologian of the Dominican order. The great theologian of the Dominican order is St. Thomas Aquinas.
That's right.
You know, so we don't have copies of his homilies even, which I think is hilarious for the man that founded the order of preachers. Yeah. We don't even know what he preached. Yeah. We don't have a record of his sermon, but we have all of this testimony about the shape of his life, again, about his joy, about his compassion, about his faithfulness in prayer, and about his rigorous fast. We know that St. Dominic poured out his whole self for the church, for the people of God.
Yeah, that's just absolutely beautiful. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, talking about his new book that he co-wrote with his Dominican brother, Father Jacob Bertrand Jancic. And the book is called St. Dominic's Way of Life, A Path to Knowing and Loving God. Yeah, so that divine self-effacement, as you just explained, was certainly true in the life of St. Dominic. And for those of us who don't know too much about his life before sort of founding the Order of Preachers, can you give us a little sketch of, to use a comic book term, his origin story?
Yeah, I think this is, it would make a great movie. But I think one of the reasons why St. Dominic is not as well known as other saints is that, again, St. Dominic's origin story, as you were, was also pretty quiet. Hmm. I say it would make a great movie because in some ways it's very compelling. Like, his mother had a vision before his birth of, instead of giving birth to St. Dominic, that she gave birth to a dog with a torch in its mouth that ran around the world and lit the world on fire. So that's a pretty good image for a preacher, you know. So there's a little bit of this quality to his life. But mm-hmm. St. Dominic was born into a faithful family, to parents who practiced the faith, who taught him to pray. In fact, St. Dominic's mother is a blessed.
Wow.
He has a brother who joined the Dominicans, who is also a blessed, Blessed Manas. And he has another brother who's a diocesan priest. So that's not bad.
It's not bad.
You know, for Felix and for Blessed Jane, you know, the parents of St. Dominic. So he was born into a family of faith. We know from a young age he was rather bookish. He liked his studies. So maybe St. Dominic would have been in chess club or debate or something like that. But we know that from an early age he was faithful to his studies, and he particularly loved the study of Scripture.
Mm, yeah, I want to ask you about that. Yeah, that's a great point. So, but you can see how his life would make maybe a good movie, and I could see the opening scene being, you know, the mother's dream with the dog and the torch in its mouth. And yeah, maybe later I'll ask you who you'd want to play St. Dominic in a movie. But anyways, we'll get to that later on. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. We're talking about his new book, St. Dominic's Way of Life. And I want to talk about something you just mentioned there, Father. St. Dominic's love of Scripture. And you do discuss this in the book. And a lot of Catholics today, they have a bit of an arm's length relationship with Scripture, I would say. A lot of them see it as, well, you know, maybe it's more of a Protestant thing to do. They're a little bit more focused on the Bible. And one of the things I do so often, Father, on our sister program, The Faith Explained, which I also host on Relevant Radio, we talk a lot about Scripture. We do Scripture studies. And I want you to tell us how St. Dominic's love of Scripture impacted him, and what can we learn from him about how we should be approaching the Bible?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So the thing that I like to point out about St. Dominic is that he experienced the Scripture fundamentally the way that most Catholics do. You know, if you're a practicing Catholic, you're experiencing the Scriptures and you're not even really paying attention to it. But St. Dominic experienced the Scriptures through the liturgy.
Right.
You know, it was through the Holy Mass that he would have heard the words of the Lord proclaimed and embraced them. And then all the more so as a religious, before founding the Dominican order, St. Dominic was a cathedral canon at the Cathedral of Osma, and he would have prayed the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, the constant and perpetual prayer of the Church. St. Dominic, in praying the Liturgy of the Hours, would have been reciting the Psalms, and he would have known these beautiful prayers which are about Christ, nearly almost by heart. They would have been so intimate, such a constitutive part of his life. So we have, first of all, this relationship with Scripture from the liturgy. But we also know that St. Dominic undertook personal study of Scripture. So as he walked around in his travels during the early days of preaching and the nascent project of the Dominican Order, he carried with him always the book of Matthew's Gospel, a book containing the letters of St. Paul, and the writings of the desert father John Cassian, which are intensely scriptural. Wow. So this little detail about his life, and they wouldn't have been pocket-sized books. You know, these books would have been much bigger even than St. Dominic's Way of Life. Right? These would have been huge tomes, but St. Dominic carried them always with him because his own reading of the Gospel of Matthew, of the letters of St. Paul, of the writings of St. John Cassian were so important to him. So those are the two fundamental ways, and they're encouraging to us as Catholics to experience the Word of God in the liturgy and then literally to carry it always with us.
Absolutely. And hey, if St. Dominic was living today, he simply could have downloaded a Bible app and got a lot of that stuff on his phone. He wouldn't have had to carry it in his backpack along with him. And he could have also listened to the podcast called Godsplaining, which you know a little bit about. And I'm with the host, one of the hosts of Godsplaining, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe OP, hosts that show along with Father Jacob Bertrand Janzik. And the two of them have also written this book together, St. Dominic's Way of Life, A Path to Knowing and Loving God. We got to take a little break right now on the Cale Clark Show. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, 1-888-914-9149. Stick around. Lots of fun coming up. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Hey, Lucas, is that the St. Motel song?
No, this is a song by Degro.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to make a segue between St. Motel, St. Dominic. That's not going to work. Anyways, we are talking about a brand new book that just came out called St. Dominic's Way of Life, and it was co-written by the senior editor of Alatea.org. He's joining me on the line today, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, having a great conversation about this. And just before the break, Father, we were talking about St. Dominic's love of Scripture. And speaking of Scripture, one thing Jesus did say in the Gospel of John was that, you know, talking about some of his opponents, he's like, hey, listen, you guys study the Scripture so intensely, but you don't realize that Scripture testifies about me. You refuse to come to me to have life. And as he said to Pontius Pilate when he was on trial for his life, I am the truth. Everyone who's on the side of the truth listens to me. So we live in a world that's obviously gripped by something Pope Benedict called the dictatorship of relativism. Talk to me about the concept of truth when it comes to the life of St. Dominic, because you write about this a lot in the book.
Well, one of the things that I love about St. Dominic, which is, you know, a little bit removed from your question, but I'm going to get to it.
Okay? Yeah, sure. No problem. Yeah,
one of the things I love about St. Dominic is that he's the patron saint of astronomers, which at first off seems a little bit random. You know, St. Dominic was not a scientist, and nor was he living in an age that had any kind of particular astronomical acumen. Galileo hadn't invented the telescope yet. Mm-hmm. Well, built that first telescope by which he, you know, made his earth-shattering discoveries. Right. So it seems a bit odd to call this 13th century man the patron saint of astronomy. Well, there are a couple of instances that are related to the stars in the life of St. Dominic. A star descended on his forehead at his baptism. And when he first founded the order, he was attending a class of a theological lecture, in Toulouse by famous theologian named Alexander. And that before St. Dominic and his followers arrived, the professor, the theologian, had a dream that 12 stars would arrive in his classroom. So there are little stories like this, but the biggest story about the star was that St. Dominic was praying about whether or not to found the Dominican order. And he received a place in kind of central southern France there, He received a sign from God on the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene, which was a shooting star that arched over the Church of St. Mary in Puy there. So we have all these legends about stories about stars from the life of St. Dominic that are demonstrative in and of themselves why perhaps he is the patron saint of astronomers. But I think there's something more profound there. And here now I'm starting to get right to your question. Why is there something more profound? Well, because I think that stargazers are truth seekers. And that look to the heavens, to think about the stars, to wonder about the God that created them, to marvel at the expanse of the night sky, is to begin to ask questions of meaning. And so to want to know about the heavenly spheres, to want to know about the stars and the planets, demonstrates, I think, a real search, a real seeking. And in St. Dominic's case, that was demonstrated by his love of truth. So when he founded the Dominican Order, he founded us to preach. I said it earlier in the show, in the top part of the show, that St. Dominic's mission was to convert these people that had fallen away from the church, that had become a part of a particular movement, the Albigensian movement, the Cathar movement. St. Dominic's goal was to convert them back. And to do so, he decided to raise up an army of men that could answer their objections. He wanted learned men who could debate and who could argue these people back into the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So St. Dominic, in this way, really has at the heart of his vocation, at the heart of the Dominican project, the truth about who Jesus Christ is, the truth about who his church is, and the truth about who we are as men and women who have been invited to know and love him.
Yeah, I really love that answer because, you know, just when you were talking, it reminded me of something that G.K. Chesterton once said, and I wish he was alive today because he'd be so awesome on Twitter. It's so many tweetable quotes, and he said, the reason why we have an open mind, so, I mean, I'm not quoting him directly, but the reason why we have an open mind is the same reason why we have an open mouth, that we might close it again on something solid. In other words, you know, our minds are created for truth. We are created for the truth. And that example of the stars and, you know, as the psalmist says, the heavens are telling the glories of God, you know, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. That's so awesome. And also what you said, too, about, you know, training an army to come up with answers for the questions, the doubts that some of these heretics and others had about the truth. That's something that we Catholics have to be concerned about. All of us need to be prepared, as St. Peter says in the New Testament, to answer the questions that people have with gentleness and respect. So I think it's really important that you mention that. And I don't know if you want to follow up on that at all, Father, but feel free to jump in. I'm kind of preaching here myself.
I should join the Order of Preachers.
But I
just want to go, well, yeah, listen, I mean, the promise of the book is that everyone can live St. Dominic's way of life.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's a whole spirituality to embrace here. But yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I would like to add there is to say that another really interesting thing about the Albigensians, about the people St. Dominic was dealing with, was that they had a kind of fundamentally distorted view of human nature.
That's right.
A view of human nature that I think is entirely relevant today. So Albigensianism attacked the goodness of the body and preferred against it, the integrity of soul and of the spiritual life. And the Catholic teaching, of course, is that every human person is both their body and their soul.
Exactly.
Right? So the body is not something we can dismiss. So in our day, you know, particularly as we face questions about human nature, about our identity, about sexuality, we have to be clear that the body is an essential part of the equation. You are your body, you are your soul, you are this composite of both. And so St. Dominic, when he was engaging the Albigensians, was working to educate them, to bring them back into a stronger sense of just the fundamental realities of the human condition, which is, again, you know, the project of our present age.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the truth. This is part of the truth of who we are, embodied persons. And this is what the resurrection is all about, not only Christ's resurrection, but our own future resurrection as well. I've been talking for a little while now on the Faith Explained program about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that incredible teaching. And really, that's like a first century theology of the body class by St. Paul. In the 13th century, I guess you could say that St. Dominic was kind of preaching a theology of the body in a certain sense as well, based on what you're saying. And I think it's really important. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later on in terms of how this relates to the rosary. We're going to talk about that. I know we have a listener on the line who has a question about that, so we'll get to you, David, in just a moment. But one of the things that you said just a moment ago, Father, and my guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, author of the new book, St. Dominic's Way of Life. You said that St. Dominic's spirituality is for everyone. That is really the heart of what's in your book. And, you know, when I think about St. Rose of Lima, her feast day was a couple of days ago. She was a lay Dominican. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, St. Catherine of Siena were also lay Dominicans. What is it about Dominican spirituality in particular that, you know, A, produces saints, and are they just way better than other religious?
Well, I will say, you know, as I was discerning my own vocation, that it was really the saints of the order that spoke to me. You know, I look around and I see this army in heaven of men and women who are holy, you know, who have made it, who are interceding for us. And I said, well, I don't know if this is going to work for me, but it worked for them, so maybe it will. There's a real witness offered by the saints of the order, and that's an incredible thing. But I think the beauty of that is saying the Dominican order doesn't have one saint. It doesn't have just St. Dominic. It doesn't have just St. Thomas Aquinas. It doesn't have just Catherine or Rose, these incredible women in the Dominican order. The Dominican order has literally hundreds of saints. And it means that the vision of holiness that St. Dominic offered was so broad, it was so big, that so many people could grab onto it and seize it and make it their own in their own lives. That's what it means.
Yeah, I like that. And let's follow up with that. Well, what is distinctive about Dominican spirituality as compared to other spiritualities in the Church, Ignatian, Carmelite, Franciscan, etc.? What's the distinctives of the Dominican way of life, and how can everyday Catholics tap into that?
Yeah, that's right. I think you know, just by way of comparison, you know, we can take the noble tradition of Ignatius Loyola. What is it that St. Ignatius did? Well, he made up a method of prayer, and it's a useful method, and some people really like it. But that's fundamental. You know, if you ask me fundamentally who is Ignatius Loyola, I will tell you he invented Devotio Moderna, that he came up with this way of discernment, this particular method of prayer in the spiritual exercises. And it's a clear roadmap, and many people relate to it because they can follow it, right? St. Dominic didn't do that. You know, the Dominican thing, St. Dominic's project is a whole way of life. So it's a components of everyday living. And to jump into that means to not just adapt this or that practice, but to say, no, I'm going to live my life like this guy insofar as I can, right? And so I think that's a fundamental difference between St. Dominic's projects and the St. Dominic's project and the project of other saints. You know, he doesn't have a technique. He doesn't have a method. There's no one particular thing. It's rather an entire shape of a life. I hope that distinction is helpful, but I think it gets at the kind of vision that St. Dominic is getting at, that the Christian living is not just one piece, not just this or that thing, right? But the whole shape of one's life.
Yeah, it's really all encompassing. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, who is the editor in chief. I gave you a demotion earlier. I said you were the senior editor of Alatea, but you're actually the editor in chief now. And that's what it says on the back of the book. So you gotta call OSV so you've been promoted.
Well, we move quickly. We move quickly, Cale. You know, I have to say I'm enjoying this, the shape of my life. One of the things that's great about being a religious is you don't plan your own life. You know, someone else plans it for you. So
that's right.
When the provincial tells you that there's something waiting for you, you say, yes, Father, thank you. I will go. Yeah.
It certainly makes life a lot less complicated. You know, you don't have to worry. Someone else is making the plans for you, and ultimately God is directing that person. You pray for that. But here's Amen. Another thing, and here's another thing, Father, that you don't have to worry about every day. What am I going to wear? And obviously the very distinctive Dominican habit is very recognizable. Talk to me a little bit about how Our Lady was connected with this. This is in the book, and I want you to tell the story.
Yeah, I think this is really an incredible thing. So St. Dominic, when he was a canon of the Cathedral of Osma, he would have worn a tunic and probably something like a white surplice. So he would have looked like, you know, an altar boy, but all in white. Okay. You know, that's the basic thing of what he was wearing. But we Dominicans, as you know, if you look at pictures of us or on the painting of St. Dominic that's on the cover of the book, you see an outfit that looks rather monkish. Mm-hmm. It looks much more monastic than what I previously described. Okay, so how did it come about? Well, one of the brethren had a vision of Our Lady, and she actually gave the habit to the order, and St. Dominic adopted it. You know, just said, yep, this is it. Wow. So there are all these remarkable stories of Our Lady's intervention in the early life of the order. And this is one of the reasons why the Dominicans are so associated with Marian devotion. So, for example, she appeared she appeared with the brethren in the dormitory, blessing them with holy water at night to ward off the demons that were haunting them. So every That's night, incredible. As we sing Compline, one of the friars sprinkles the community with holy water, keeping this custom very much alive in our communities. These early signs of devotion, the giving of the scapular, which is the piece of the habit that goes over the shoulders, it's a long kind of apron-y piece, the giving of the scapular, this practice of blessing with holy water, these are signs of devotion to Our Lady. And we're, in fact, the Dominican Order is, in fact, the first order in the church to make profession to Our Lady.
Interesting.
So when we profess our vow of obedience, we pray, we make our profession to God, to Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, and to Blessed Dominic, our Father. And
wow.
So we have Our Lady's name right up there, and we're the first order in the church that did that.
Yeah, so Dominican spirituality is very Marian. I think a lot of people don't realize the extent of that. We have another question regarding Mary and the Dominican Order. Going to go to the phones right now. David is calling from the Twin Cities. Hi, David. What is your question for Father Patrick Mary Briscoe?
Yes. Hi. My question is somewhat twofold. One is, is it just pious tradition to believe that Blessed Mother gave St. Dominic the rosary, or could you maybe expand on that? And then second, the mysteries associated with the rosary, is that something that Our Lady gave to St. Dominic, or is that something that developed? We have a huge devotion to, or not devotion, but we named our second son Dominic, and we love Blessed Mother so much. So, yeah, be interested to see what you have to say.
Yeah, thanks for those questions, David. Yeah, really good questions. What do you think, Father?
Absolutely. They're great questions. Thank you for asking them, David. And they're questions I like to talk about all the time, because the answer, as perhaps you have some sense of, is very complicated historically. So what we don't have, you know, and I think it's important for us to be honest, about the evidence that we have or that we don't have. What we don't have is some kind of smoking gun. There's not clear historical evidence about St. Dominic and the origins of the rosary. So there's not like a script, you know, there's not some kind of medieval document signed with his name that said, I, Dominic of Guzman, invented the rosary. You know, so we lack that kind of historical evidence. But what do we have? And I think more importantly is, why did the church come to associate the rosary with St. Dominic? Why is the name of Dominic, associated right with the rosary? Well, we do have a couple of things. One, we know that St. Dominic himself loved the Blessed Mother very much. So I just told a couple of little anecdotes from the origins of the order. And we know that, for example, that he also liked to sing the hymn, the Ave Maris Stella. He loved to sing that hymn as he walked from town to town, beautiful medieval hymn to Our Lady. So he, in fact, had a very great personal devotion to the Blessed Mother. He founded the Dominican Order at the Monastery of St. Mary of Puy. He wore the scapular. Okay, so again, you have all these examples of Marian devotion right away, very early on in the order. We also know that at the time of St. Dominic, there was a kind of rising practice of the Pater Noster, which was a medieval a medieval set of beads, right? A kind of knotted cord or sometimes beads where people would pray the Our Father, and where they, when they would pray the kind of first part of the Hail Mary. So we know historically that this practice is on the rise.
Yeah, and this is what was known as the poor man's Psalter.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And so the number 150 became associated with these Paternosters, with these Ave Marias, with these Hail Marys, because lay people were being encouraged to pray one prayer in the place of the psalms that the religious prayed, in place of the psalms mm-hmm. that the monks and nuns prayed. And we know that we have a sense that St. Dominic did this. Okay. There are some historical documents that are contested that talk about the origin of the Rosary of St. Dominic. So there was the erection of a Rosary Altar Society that mentioned St. Dominic. Very soon after St. Dominic, one of the brethren was buried with a rosary. So we're talking like within the span of 30 years. Wow. And that's probably the most significant piece of the real historical evidence mm-hmm. that we have about,
wow, I hadn't heard that.
About this. So that's all about the historical shape, right? And just kind of a yep. general sense. So then the second question, which I think is the more interesting one, is to say, well, why does the church associate the rosary with St. Dominic? And I think the answer to that is that St. Dominic had such a profound Marian devotion, and that the origins of what he was doing, you know, I don't think it's exactly the rosary as we pray it today, but I think it's something like that, that the origins of what he was doing were part of his preaching to the Albigensians.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that is a perfectly reasonable thing to believe.
Exactly, and that's one of the things I was going to ask you about, Father, with you know, a lot of the mysteries of the Rosary, obviously focusing on the incarnational aspect of Jesus Christ, and this whole Albigensian heresy, rejecting the body in many ways, you know, his preaching obviously countered that, and so does the Rosary.
That's right. The Rosary, which is, you know, nothing but a compendium to the life of Christ, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that I think that's very much the case, and I certainly, you know, myself personally believe that St. Dominic preached an early version of the Rosary. But we do know that the prayers have been modified over the years, mm-hmm. that the Church has added to these things in her wisdom, that John Paul II, for example, saw fit to add the luminous mysteries, and that these kinds of prayers belong to the treasury of wisdom and grace that is the Church. So we don't have to be too constrictive about our view. What was the Rosary, the way that St. Dominic prayed
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That's just a great little history lesson there. It's really cool. It, you know, didn't necessarily drop out of heaven, but Our Lady obviously still guided the process, as did our Lord too. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, talking about St. Dominic's way of life. We're going to take a quick little break here on the Cale Clark Show, but we'll be back with more from Father and your questions too. Call 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Be right back in just a moment.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back. We're going to get back to our conversation live and in the moment with the Dominican Father, Patrick Mary Briscoe, in just a moment. And speaking of priests, a lot of people ask this question: what does a priest know about marriage? A lot of them have never been married. There are some married priests out there, but you know what I'm talking about. Well, for more than 20 years, our own Father Rocky Hoffman, who's the CEO of Relevant Radio, he has ministered to countless married couples throughout all different seasons of their relationships, including before, during, and even a long time after they first got married. And these couples have shared with him their problems, their successes. So he may not be married himself, but he does know a lot about marriage. He's been pretty involved with a lot of married people over the years. And I always say that too, you know, when people ask, what does a priest really know about this? Well, as a married man, really the only marriage I actually know about is my own. You know, maybe my parents, you know, close friends, but he's seen a lot of marriages. He knows what works, he knows what doesn't, and he wants to share the wisdom that he's learned with you in his new book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. It's free and you can get it. We want to send it to you with no shipping or handling. It's all free. but it's only available for a limited time. So you need to go to relevantradio.com/marriage to get your copy of Father Rocky's book, Marriage Insurance. And that sounds like a keeper for sure. Another book that's a real keeper is St. Dominic's Way of Life, A Path to Knowing and Loving God, which is written by my guest today, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, along with Father Jacob Bertrand Jancic. And Father, before the break, we were talking a lot about the rosary, Marian spirituality, and how that connects with the Dominican life. And one of the great things that you point out in the book is St. Dominic's capacity for friendship. And I think one of the things that I notice, you know, looking around it with my friends, people that I know, we're also obviously hyper-connected more than ever before because of modern technology. But in the same way, we're also lonelier than ever before. I find that especially true with men. One writer even coined a term called friendship deficit disorder, or FDS, because a lot of guys, they don't actually have any real friends. There's people that they work with, people they play basketball with, people that they might have a beer with, but nobody really they could say is a real friend in the classical sense of the term. So talk to me about the value of friendship and how St. Dominic particularly stressed this in his life and in his ministry.
Well, one thing that I think is so incredible is that St. Dominic knew that his witness to Christ was not going to work if it was just about him. So from the early days, St. Dominic called to himself friends. He called to himself companions to undertake this project with him. And I think it's beautiful that the original number of the brethren was 12.
That's nice.
See why this would be important, right, from the biblical perspective. So we have St. Dominic calling to himself friends and companions because he knew that their witness would have more impact than if he were a solitary voice. He was more interested in imitating the Lord, let's say, than John the Baptist, who was just a voice crying out of the wilderness. So we have this kind of imitation of Christ that's very profound. And St. Dominic's confidence in that a shared life, a communal life, a common life, that an abundance of witnesses would move the hearts of hearers.
I love that. And speaking about moving the hearts of hearers, Father, you know, one of the things that the Second Vatican Council reminded us of is really the missionary nature of the church. The church exists, you know, in large part to evangelize, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And St. Dominic was well known for this, obviously. His order is called the Order of Preachers. We've been talking about that. That is a community that obviously is, you know, really concerned about excellence, preaching excellence, sharing the kerygma, the gospel. It's crucial to your personal vocation. What can we learn from St. Dominic about how we can preach Christ in our own environments, that every Catholic can kind of do this, in the present moment in which we find ourselves?
One of the things that's so extraordinary about St. Dominic is, as I've been saying, this quality of witness. As Dominicans, as we've been talking about in the program today, we talk a lot about truth, about doctrine, about preaching, about the expression of the truths of faith. But St. Dominic was viewed as holy by the people who heard him because of the whole shape of his life. Mm-hmm. It was a whole package deal. It wasn't just part of his life that seemed to people to be holy, but it was this combination of simplicity of life, his commitment to poverty, his undertaking of fasts, the witness of his time at prayer. I mean, St. Dominic would weep. He would burst into tears as he sung mm-hmm. Holy Mass. So you just have this man who is on fire with the love of God and who's just exuding God throughout his whole life. In fact, it was said of St. Dominic that he used to only ever speak to God or of God.
Nice.
Now, that could seem a little bit annoying. You could think, like, I don't need that friend. You know, I want a friend that's going to go to a football game with me or something like that, right? But none of this inhibited St. Dominic's humanity. We know that he was beloved, that he always had, that he had another great quote about St. Dominic is that he always had at hand an abundant supply of edifying stories. I love that one. You know, just like this nice giant bag of tricks that he can reach into. Right? And so we're asking, how is it that St. Dominic was able to preach to people today? It's because, or how was it that St. Dominic was able to preach to people of his day? And how does that apply to us today, right? It's the shape of life, to live a life that is attractive, a life that is fully human, but a life that is rigorously, totally, completely, through and through about the gospel. That's the key. That's who St. Dominic was.
Yeah, I love that. And as the writer Marshall McLuhan once said, the medium is the message. He was talking about other things, but I think that's true in our own Catholic lives. Like, the totality of our lives is, you know, like St. Paul talked about this. You know, he basically said, you're a letter from Jesus Christ to others. And we're the message is the gospel. We're like the envelope, as St. Jose Maria Escrivá once said, you know, and just the totality of our lives is that witness. So I really love that about St. Dominic. And I'm listening to, I guess, the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And my guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. And we've got a call here from Paul. Paul's on the line from Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Paul. What's your question for Father?
Hello. I just wondered how closely related in time the rosary in the Western Church was with the prayer rope used by the Orthodox.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Paul, this is a great question. First of all, I love that you're from Youngstown, because, as you know, the Dominicans have a very active church there, St. Dominic's, but perhaps you know it. But the prayer rope of the Orthodox that you're talking about seems to have preceded the rosary. So the Jesus prayer, that simple prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, the Jesus prayer dates, on some accounts, to the 4th or 5th century. We know it arose in the Desert Fathers. And then from there, you know, we can speak in very broad categories here. We can say a couple hundred years, the practice of repeating the Jesus prayer over a kind of rope evolved. So it seems that the rosary, as we know it, is a later development, that the Jesus prayer and the repetition of the Jesus prayer on a rope would have preceded.
Yeah, that's a really good follow-up to our discussion earlier about the historical development of the rosary. So, Paul, calling from Youngstown, Ohio, thanks a lot for that question. That's a great one. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Father, is speaking of prayer, you were recently in Maine doing some prayer, serving as a chaplain for some focus missionaries. They're working on some projects there. I saw this on your social media feed on Twitter. What were you guys up to there, by the way? And is there anything in particular that you took away from this experience?
Oh my gosh, that was such an incredible program. First of all, if you have not been to Acadia National Park in Maine, you must go. I could be a national park dad.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures you posted. They're amazing.
I think that the importance of getting back to nature, of going to the great outdoors, you know, and just taking the time to marvel at the God who made all of this. I think it's so important in the spiritual life. And my classmates would all laugh if they heard me talking like this, because I'm very much a creature of comfort. You know, I like air conditioning and hot food and clean clothes. But I had the privilege of being up there with students who were part of the Focus Summer Projects program. So Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, which is an evangelization program, a national evangelization program, reaching out to Catholic students on campuses all throughout the United States. Summer Projects is an opportunity for students to get a summer job and to live the faith in a Christian community while working, you know, kind of at a remote location. So the students I was with were working at the Jordan Pond House at a restaurant there in Acadia National Park. And then what I did was provide the sacraments, spiritual direction, and animate their kind of Christian living. It's a marvelous experience of community. I would wholly recommend it to any undergraduate student. You can apply to be a part of this program, whether or not Focus is on your campus. It's really extraordinary.
Yeah, it certainly sounds that way. And you, as I just mentioned, you posted a lot of pictures of that experience on your Twitter feed. And speaking of that, where can people find you on Twitter, elsewhere online, talk about your podcast? How can people connect with you, Father?
Please. I'm very active, as Cale mentioned, so I'm the editor-in-chief of aletea.org. That's aletea.org. We offer inspiring Catholic news every day, trying to animate, again, the whole of Christian life. So you can check us out there. On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, my handle is PatrickMaryOP. That's PatrickMaryOP on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I love hearing from readers, hearing from people that listen to the Godsplaining podcast, which I'm a host. You can find that on godsplaining.org and download our episodes from any major podcast source. So we have a lot of projects where we're trying to reach out, we're trying to imitate St. Dominic, trying to make Catholic truth available and animated in people's lives in any number of ways.
That's incredible. And I know that God's Planning is now doing a little bit of live splaining, so you can check that out. So you're used to going live, and certainly you did a great job on the show today. Father Patrick Mary Briscoe has been my guest. Thanks for writing this book, St. Dominic's Way of Life. It is an awesome read, and thanks for taking the time today, Father. I hope people go out and get the book because it's really good.
Thanks so much, Cale. I appreciate all you do. My prayers for you and for your listeners.
Thank you, and right back at you. We promise to keep you in our prayers as well, and all of our listeners here at Relevant Radio. That was Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, the author of the new book, along with his fellow Dominican, Father Jacob Bertrand Jancic, St. Dominic's Way of Life, A Path to Knowing and Loving God. It's a great read. Trust me. It's good spiritual reading for the summer. Hope you pick it up. What a great show today. Wow, thanks for your calls, everybody. Thanks for listening. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alog was on the other end of that phone, that friendly voice. Yeah. Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, as I said, was my guest. What an awesome show. St. Dominic's Spirituality. Look into it. It's got a lot to offer. And Relevant Radio has a lot to offer, too. Timory's up next. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.